Greetings, everyone. It's your girl, Adina. Yes, it's that time again. It's the Goddess Technology Podcast. And I am your girl, Adina Gittin Smith, the goddess of magical movement. We have an amazing conversation today with Mama Ayo, my Mama Ayo Handy Kennedy. But before we get into that, I'm going to show two videos. One is about belly dancers of color, which I have the wonderful honor of being the co-host or co-founder of. And in addition to that, Goddess Technology, which is a beautiful offering that I have downloaded from the ancestors to you. So here we go. Hi, Goddess. Embark on a sacred journey. Goddess Technology Retreat Bali. Join us August 2nd through the 9th, 2025, for an unforgettable experience designed exclusively for the Divine Feminine. Nestled in the lush, tranquil landscape of Bali, this retreat is your sanctuary, a place to draw within and nourish your soul's deepest yearnings. Live, awaken your inner goddess with transformative events and sacred rituals that celebrate your unique essence. Rest, surrender to the soothing embrace of Bali's serene beauty, where every moment invites you to relax. Visit our website at bit.ly/letstalkaboutbali. bit.ly/letstalkaboutbali. Your divine transformation is calling you. Let's go, goddess. Let's go.
These two individuals.
Yay! Yay! Yes. Welcome, everybody, to the sixth episode from the third season of the Goddess Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Adina Gittin Smith, and I have the amazing opportunity to sit here with Mama Ayo Handy Kennedy, who is a pillar in the African American community worldwide, and especially here in the Washington, D.C. area. Mama Ayo, I have been in your energy really since the 90s. You came to my awareness of all the wonderful things you were doing. One thing that really touched me was your establishment of Black Love Day. I love that. I am here for the love. So what we are talking about today is divine reconciliation, breath work for acceptance and love. But before we get into all of that, I want Mama Ayo to give her welcomes and hellos and all that good stuff.
Well, Adina, give thanks and praise and give thanks and praise. And I give thanks and praise. That's my opening statement. And because I do truly do give thanks and praise. I'm so grateful to be here. I am so grateful at 73 years young.
Yes.
To still have
love on 73 years young.
Yeah. I was listening to a sister on TikTok yesterday. She said she's part of the Sassy 70 Club, right?
Yes.
And so I said, I like that. I'm part of that club too. I'm so grateful to be here. I didn't have to be here. I did a lot of stuff in my earlier youth that could have really, you know, taken me out, and I could be less healthier than I am. But I was doing some things at that time that seems like it helped to increase my mitochondria and my oxygen levels and my levels and all of that I'm still doing today. And I think it's made a difference. And mentally, I'm strong and sewing and scaling.
That is absolutely amazing. Thank you for being an example of vibrancy in your 70s. We love the Sassy 70 Club. I just learned that our birthdays are 2 days apart. So we got that Mother Cancer energy. My birthday is July 17th, and you just share with me your July 15th.
That's right. Yes, that's why you asked me about my birthday. Okay, yes.
My mother's birthday is the day before yours. Hers is July 14th. So,
Okay. That's a good period of time. I have a couple of friends that period of time. You know, that's the middle of the year, I believe. We're very balanced. We balance the whole year.
We do. We bring a lot of love, a lot of mothering, a lot of water, a lot of energy, and back to love. So it makes sense that you would be the founder of Black Love Day. Give the people a brief bio of you. And I know I want to also talk about Little Ayo. So I have my pom-poms on because Little Adina wanted to be seen today. So I let Little Adina have her pom-poms. Give us a little bit about Little Ayo, you know, before she had done all of the amazing things she's done now. And then some of your bio, and then we'll get into our questions.
Okay. Well, before I start, my last name is Kennedy, not the Kennedy. Okay.
Right.
So I want to just get that clear.
Let's get
Little
it clear.
Little Ayo loves to play.
Ashe.
She still loves to play. There's a little girl in Ayo, Little Ayo, that seems to never have really totally grown up. And children, other little children, when they seem to meet me, the big Ayo, they seem to immediately recognize Little Ayo. They play with me. They you know, they do little twitchy things. They smile a lot. And because I'm certified in laughter yoga, along with breathology, I keep the element of laughter and joy. But I've always been a person that smiles.
Mm-hmm.
I've always, in the midst of some of my extremely serious stuff, I've been able to smile through it. And I remember when I graduated from high school and I went to Howard University, I was just smiling around the campus and people would say, "What are you smiling about?" And I said, "You know, I just feel joy and I like to smile." And so that joyful person is still very much a part of little Io. Loves to play, loves to enjoy nature, loves animals, all kinds of animals, and can go into characters real quick, you know, to express what I'm feeling as the expressive part of, I guess, what I used to do when I was a little girl. We started telling stories as a little girl, and I still tell stories today. So I go in character very quickly.
Where were you born, Mama Io?
I was born here in Washington, D.C.
Okay, native.
15, 1951. Yes, I'm a native Washingtonian. I have moved from D.C. I didn't want to move from D.C. I absolutely love my hometown. But it was difficult to purchase the house that my husband and I were living in. And we lived in LaJoy Park. I've lived in Southeast, Northwest, you know, and I pretty much grew up. My stomping ground was pretty much Southeast.
Okay.
And so Southeast, if you know anything about D.C., Southeast, I think, is the more grassroots, more rural part of D.C. It always maintained, I think, a sense of country compared to, if you go up Northwest, it's more like urban, it's more cityfied, right? And so I pretty much had that as my earlier grounding, and then later on I moved to Northwest, and that was the house that we lived in for about 16 years. My aunt, who lived, this was in LaJoy Park, around the corner from Howard University. She didn't want to sell it. So we said, "No, we're not going to rent your house for forever." We went on and we made up what we wanted for our profile, for our house. And we claimed it. And now I live in a very, very beautiful rural part of Capitol Heights, Maryland.
Okay.
And I have lived here now, it'll be 14 years. And I just... really, I just thank the creator that John and I, my husband at that time, we made up what we wanted. We wanted land, we wanted off the grid, you know. And so you ride down the main street of Capitol Heights, Maryland, Marlboro Pike, 1,000 cars come through Capitol Heights. They come from Maryland going into D.C.
You're right on the line.
Right on the line. But I turn into my street, Opus Avenue, and four houses here and woods all around and a big creek in the back of me where the deer come every year.
Oh, nice.
And I get to watch little fawns as they grow up the next year. They come back and they go the next year. They bigger, and they say, you know, they great big horns. So I get a big kick out of where I live.
That sounds amazing, Mama.
Connected with nature. So.
That's amazing. I'm so happy that little Io gets to be in nature. I know that feeds your spirit.
Every single day, I get to breathe fresh air, and I get to really commune with nature. Yes,
I love that for you. Now, we got an opportunity to spend time together this weekend. And after I spent that time with you closely, I knew I wanted to have you closer to me and to start by having a conversation and sharing with our community a little more intimately about Io and what she's all about and all the amazing things that you have turned your life into a teaching moment for everyone else. You really have. Mama Io was our keynote speaker and really a facilitator at our Honoring the Divine Feminine event that was had at Belly Dancers of Color Studio this past Saturday. King Ade organized this, and I know King Ade is like a godson of yours, and he brought you in, and that was the biggest gift to us all, to have Mama Io in our space and sharing. I'm going to show the folks really quickly just a little snippet about what we did on Saturday.
So this ain't nothing wrong with that. So tell me that, tell me that. Tell me I'm the best I am. I'll be feeling like yes, I am. I am. let's try it. Be a fool to not take me as I am. Tell me I'm the best diet. I be feeling like yes, I am. I am. You know I'm the best diet. You be a fool to not take me as I am. Sweetest thing I know, like my favorite Lauren song, and I need you really bad. Don't take me for granted, you'll be regretting it. Oh, I should be a lad.
It was so dope. So this was an event where the masculine planned an opportunity to have the women come and be loved upon. There was poetry, there was a public apology from the feminine and the masculine. There was drumming, there was a DJ, there was yummy food. We were showered in flowers. A lot of healing and reconciliation took place in our DNA that day. Just to have an event where the brothers are coming and just loving on the feminine, us as individuals, but really us as divine entities. It goes so much beyond just us as people. It is healing. It's healing us. It's healing us. And that was in response to what Belly Dancers of Color have done over the last 9 years, which is honoring the divine masculine. We have done the same thing. So Brother Aday had come to our session last July and just felt the love. I had never met him before. He was inside the circle. Everyone was infusing him with love. And he said he healed that day. Some things inside of him and he wanted to return the favor. And so really it was a beautiful event. What was your understanding or feeling from that event?
I didn't know that part of it. I thought he really had this divine plan, mm-hmm. Based on International Women's Day.
Mm-hmm. You know, it just lined it up on International Women's Day.
I see.
Yeah, it was organic.
It was organic. Mm-hmm. See, so all of that I didn't even understand. Mm-hmm. And Aday is becoming like a spiritual son of mine. Mm-hmm. And he just said, you know, Mama Ayo, I really want you to take part in this event. And he kept trying to send me the flyer. I never got the flyer.
Okay.
Tried three times. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even know where I was going.
Oh, wow.
You know, I didn't know where I was going. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to do your ritual of reconciliation.
I say.
I want you to provide a space where the brothers can apologize to anything that they feel that they have done to confront the sisters, mm-hmm. and to comfort them, which is the affirmation we say in this ritual. You know, we got to love each other enough to confront each other, and we then have to comfort each other. So I said, sure, how do you want me to do it? So we were talking about this on the way there.
I love it.
We were talking about this on the way there.
But Mama, I love that you were in the car coming, like, well, whatever it is, I'm going to be there.
You could be taking me to Lord knows where. I don't even know the address or where I'm going.
Right.
And I just said, but I trust you. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And when I came in, you know, everybody was beautiful and they're white and everybody was so just open. And you were just a gracious, gracious sister host. And you just hugged me and, you know, and everybody was just hugging each other. So it was love. And mm-hmm. when you feel love, you know, I said, well, whatever you want me to do. And so because I've done this ritual for over 32 years, mm-hmm. I knew to at least bring the urn, because he had mentioned, I want you to do the ritual. So I bought the urn for the what we call public apology and private apology. And I was able to bring a few things for the altar. And other than that, you know, I was open, whatever you want me to do. And it all turned out as if it was just all...
It was organic. It was The mother showed up. The mother showed up and she showed out. We did our thing. The food was so good. The drumming, the DJ, all of it was just so beautiful.
It was wonderful. And mm-hmm. and he is telling me, he came by yesterday, mm-hmm. and he told me that everybody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved the apologies. He had hoped more brothers would be involved in the apologies, but mm-hmm. it was enough to make him feel that his goal had been achieved.
I see.
But the sisters themselves mm-hmm. allowed themselves to apologize to themselves
I see.
About what they maybe had not given to themselves over the years, the love, the nurturing, the care. And they apologized to their moms, and they apologized to fathers, and they apologized to lovers who mm-hmm. they had domestic issues. And this apology ritual, we have institutionalized it as part of a concept called Loveology.
Mm.
And this concept of Loveology is in the expansion of the holiday that I was blessed to found, Black Love Day, February the 13th. That started in 1993. Well, what grew out of Black Love Day was not just on that one day, February the 13th, that you offer apology, you reconcile your differences, you show love in for 24 hours in five specific tenets, showing loving acts to the Creator, for self, for the Black family, the Black community, the Black diaspora. But what grew in the advancement of this apology was the reconciliation aspect of love.
Mm.
That if you're all filled with all this pain and animosity, it's really hard to love.
I see.
Yeah. And so Spirit had downloaded this holiday concept. And then Spirit downloaded this reconciliation ritual.
Mm.
And so to be able to go beyond Black Love Day, February the 13th, and speak of Black Love 365. That extends us into the concept that self-care comes from releasing the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Releasing the pain. And you release the pain by, you know, perhaps apologizing for yourself, or how you contributed to the pain, and also definitely apologizing to those who may experience your anger, your wrath, your confusion around the pain. And once you let go of all of that, you're like an open vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what seemed to happen that night. People cried.
Mm-hmm.
People, when we did the breathing aspect, to open up the heart chakras. I mean, there were some sisters that we hadn't even started the apology process that were releasing. They were mm-hmm. letting go.
And they were.
So it was just a beautiful affair. And all that this particular ritual can do, and it event in the families, in the communities. We've offered it with gang members, we've offered it with couples who need to reconcile their differences. And this whole big group, I know it was a good 50 some sisters sitting around that circle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so many came forward. The concept of public apology is an African-centered concept.
Mm-hmm.
In this circle, circles represent love because of the connection of unity. And here we're all in the circle. Public apology is born out of this concept.
They didn't want to leave. We didn't get out of it. Like 1:30, it's like, come on, you gotta go home.
Right. And it's simply born out of it. When you hurt one person, you hurt the whole community. So that whole community, they didn't want to leave.
They were
just feeling so much love and appreciation. Mm-hmm. They just hung around, we danced, we ate, mm-hmm. we just loved on. Well, we said we loved on each other.
We loved on each other. We made community love, okay?
Yeah.
We did Black Love 365.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the whole term loveology. That is amazing. That is amazing.
Yes, yes.
One thing you led us to on Saturday was breath work. We worked breath, and I want to talk about breath as a bridge. I know me, when I get stressed, I realize I'm actually holding my breath sometimes.
Yes.
When I'm working on something, and instead of breathing, I'm constricting.
Yes.
So I'm aware of that now, so that when I'm awake to me doing that in the moment, I can actually breathe, because that helps. But breath as a bridge, how does breath work serve you and healing and love? And could you share a personal story about where breath work helped? I know you talked about doing it with couples and gangs and how you use breath really to overcome some challenges.
Yes. Okay. So I don't know if we have about 4 or 5 hours. But
give us a snippet.
I'm going to give you the best snippet. Yes. You know, because I actually certified breathologist, and it is an actual weekend, 3-day course. It is about 7 hours to really delve into breath work is the aspect of using breath to go into the subconscious mind.
Okay.
So I've been certified as a breath worker in 1996. I got my certification in transformational breathing. And out of that, it came because of my own holding my breath a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It came from the fact that I had been angry a lot. It came from the fact I had been depressed a lot. And as I gained lots of certifications and lots of breath techniques from about age 19 to when I started getting these advanced certifications, Reiki, Shiatsu, Qigong, you name it, all of them had the aspect of breath. But I realized I also was holding my breath a lot. I would hold my breath sometimes to the point that I felt headachy, mm-hmm. and tight muscles would tense a lot. And I really was angry, and I didn't know what I was angry about. Mm-hmm. And even though I was smiling in between the anger, because I was definitely still in this other level of joy and smiling, I began to feel, you know, that I was really an imposter. I also drank, I used drugs to try to stimulate myself from all this pain and anger that I was feeling and didn't know what. Mm-hmm. Well, eventually, some of the very serious breath work techniques allow me to begin to do release work on a subconscious level. It was after a son of mine was killed,
mm-hmm.
That took me in this deep dive of putting him on a life support machine and taking him off. And I had the aha moment about, if you put a person on a life support machine, they can keep you breathing forever. But if you take them off and then they have to breathe on their own, and that aha moment when we plugged him back on the machine, he had been hit in the head, left for dead. When we plugged him back on the machine, it came very clearly that all these breath techniques I had been doing over the year, trying to seem like I had it together, but in reality, I was hurting so much inside, mm-hmm. holding my breath. I saw the difference that holding our breath means that our cells are not really alive. Our life force is not there. And so that aha moment made me commit to then teaching breathing as a process. And from that commitment, we started Optimum Life Breathology, OLB, and we began to recognize that it's not just the subconscious mind that responds to breathing. It is breath itself. Every time we really fully allow ourselves to breathe, our cells expand, our life force expands, our essence expands, right? We have a freedom that is totally open. Yes, as our breath is open. And that's what I began to see, this essence of the need to have more self-love, allow myself to breathe, even in the midst of all these tragedies and traumas and domestic violence relationships. I've been married 4 times, you know, I shared it, and 3 of them were had domestic violence in them, right? And by releasing completely, finally, in a breath technique that allowed my subconscious to open up to the stored memory of pain, the stored trauma that was within me, that stored trauma related to my having been abused as a child from about 8 to about 14.
Wow.
Once I opened and the memory came through and I was able to, we say, feel it, and therefore heal it, and I breathed through it, and I kicked and I screamed and I fought with this image, and then the image turned out to be my dad.
Wow.
I was.
So you had forgotten it. You had completely put it out of your mind.
Oh yes, you know, mm-hmm. generally when the trauma gets stuck in the body, it's affecting the body, mm-hmm. but the emotional mind also to deal with pain, trauma, drama. The brain says, oh, no, I'm not going to have you dealing with all that. That's too much for you to make. Mm-hmm. And so the brain has various aspects of it, the prefrontal cortex, the brain stem, the hippocampus. All of these is how breath work shuts down the memory of very serious stuff that it, the brain is not willing to deal with. Okay. And we see it in childbirth. The breath techniques that mm-hmm. allow us to get through childbirth that are very much the same breath techniques that allow us to open up the store of trauma and the emotional mind. And mm-hmm. the subconscious stuff just came through. And look, I said, oh, my God, I never would. I didn't like my dad. I knew it was a lot about my father as I was growing up as a child. I didn't like. Mm-hmm. I knew he verbally abused me. He messed with me all the time. He was messing with my girlfriends who would come over, you know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like all that old ugly stuff. And he was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And he would switch up, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. But I loved him because he also had some really good...
He was your daddy. Yeah, he was all the things.
Yeah, so the forgiveness work was born out of forgiving my dad. I was able to forgive whoever took my son's life. Mm-hmm. I was able to forgive the domestic issues with mm-hmm. these partners and relationships. And the more I breathed, the more I became aware that I didn't need to suppress and the stuck energy. Mm-hmm. The stuck energy was open and free.
And
I became whole, and I've been teaching breathing techniques, breathology techniques, which relates to everyday breathing techniques. Mm-hmm. And we put together a system mm-hmm. that would allow us to use breathing if you know, want to have a better bowel movement, there are breath mm-hmm. techniques.
That's
if you
right.
want to work with your PNS, there are breath techniques. Mm-hmm. If you want to meditate and go into the zone, there are different breath techniques. And we put together all of these concepts as well as the breath techniques that take us to those deep dives of the subconscious breath work. And now we've been blessed to certify over 350 breathologists.
Well, I'm signing up. I'm getting signed it up for that. Yep. That sounds amazing. Yes. So yes. Self-love rituals as breath work. Let's practice one together. Like, give us a simple exercise that we could try at home that will ground us into really loving ourselves better each and every day.
Yeah, so let's do a simple one. So no, we're not going to go too deep.
Okay.
Subconscious with this one, okay?
Okay.
And if you're driving somewhere, you know, please pull over to the road because this is going to make you feel very relaxed. But I want people to put both feet on the floor or mm-hmm. on the ground. I want you to reach your hands out this way. And as you reach out, we're going to push away what we no longer need. And we're going to push out through the breath sound of ha,
ha.
And we're going to bring it back in. Inhale in. And we're going to release out. Ha. And we're going to bring it back in.
Yes.
And then you can bring it up and you can bring it down. You can bring it up and you can bring it down. Bring it up. And you can bring it back in and out. And the idea is you're pushing away what you don't want and you're bringing up to the creator what you know that the creator can bring you, and you bring down the blessings.
Oh, so I love it.
You do it really, you know, you start mm-hmm. off slow.
I know I wanted to, I was feeling a dance well, coming in, like, hey, woo!
And look at Dina, and a lot of times in the groups that we conduct, that's exactly what happens. People, you know, and so that's a joy breath.
Mm-hmm.
The brother who introduced this to us, I'm part of an international group called the IBF, the International Breathwork Foundation.
Okay.
And so every time we have our meetings, we're pushing out, you know, the day's mm-hmm. stuff, and we're bringing it up and we're mm-hmm. bringing it down. But it's a wonderful clearing. It's a great first thing in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're really stressed out
mm-hmm.
and you really know that you want to kind of shake off that stuff, you know, mm-hmm. that's another thing we do. We do, I call it the jiggle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like to activate first before I jump into breath technique. So you want to jiggle the stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another breath technique. And then mm-hmm. and you just push away a lot of the junk,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so we try to talk through a lot of our junk.
Mm-hmm.
We like to say, breathe more, talk less.
I say.
Breathe more, talk less.
We do that in dance because we know that the body holds the memory of everything. And
yeah.
so the jiggle you're talking about, we call it shimmy. And
yeah.
when we're shimmying, we're visualizing, really shaking those yeah. things out of our DNA, out of ourselves, releasing yeah. it, giving it to the earth, because the earth can hold it. We don't have to hold yeah. it in our hearts and oh, in our bodies.
Hold it. That's right. That's
yes.
right. And there's many ways to breathe. And mm-hmm. so, you know, if you're ever in any of these newer, you know, breath work is gaining like leaps mm-hmm. and bounds of interest, right? So when I started way back there at age 19, that was about 1970 or so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here now in 2025, oh, everybody's trying to show that they know how to facilitate breath work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool because everybody breathes.
Right? Everybody breathes.
But the effective way to breathe is a signature course of mine, which is called Relearn How to Breathe.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches us a daily practice of breathing deep into the diaphragm or the belly and allowing the exhale to be gentle. It doesn't have mm-hmm. to be as dynamic as what we just showed.
Mm-hmm.
And those 20,000 times a day, 15 to 18 times a minute that we breathe, if we're able to breathe effectively, I see in me, Adina,
mm-hmm.
I see that even though I was drinking and hanging out, you know, I ate pretty good, but I drank a lot of water in those mm-hmm. days. So that boy.
That saved you.
Yeah.
That saved you.
That's right. That was the liquid breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a vegetarian as a young age. I was around about 19. I started my vegetarian diet. I'm still mm-hmm. a vegetarian today. And that brought in the solid oxygenated food.
Mm.
But I found that each breath technique that I learned, even in between these bouts of the abusive, crazy stuff in my life, I was breathing. And mm. I see today, when I look at my other friends who were my hangout buddies,
mm-hmm.
and who about my same age, I see that I'm aging differently.
I see.
It makes it because that oxygen meal,
mm-hmm.
however way we get it, if we have an effective breath, minute to minute, moment to moment, that is what makes the critical difference in our emotional mind being able to not hold on to whole bunches of stuff. We're more freer in our thinking. Our mental process is clear.
Mm-hmm.
I have very little brain fog,
mm-hmm.
you know, and my cells seem like they're dividing pretty good. So
hey, we'll take it. So that breath was or is definitely magic that you have utilized for your longevity and your vibrancy.
And yeah, I'm anti-aging. It definitely mm-hmm. is.
I'm happy to see that orange on you. Now, I think about romantic connections, and you mentioned having some tough relationships. And granted, a lot of the ladies who were in the circle and the men as well have struggled in relationship. Like everybody says they want a relationship, but at the same time, folks don't know how to do it. They don't know how to relate to other humans. They, you know, they want it to be a certain way, or maybe they're looking at Hollywood and Hollywood's telling them how relationships should be rather than how it is and us creating it. How can breath work enhance a romantic relationship? How can breathing with a partner together if you have someone on that same level?
Yes, we actually, my service is Positive Energy Works. Mm-hmm. And Positive Energy Works, we have a number of workshops, and classes, and courses, and certifications, and what have you. And one of the workshops that we have developed is breathe life into your relationship.
I see.
And oftentimes, as I mentioned, we're trying to talk out issues, and we attempt to instead stop some of the talk and allow yourself to just connect synergistically by connecting belly to belly and breath to breath.
Mm-hmm.
You can give each other eye contact if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Or just hold each other and breathe. Mm-hmm. Belly to belly. We saw how if you have a child who's having a tantrum, so that means they're angry,
mm-hmm.
frustrated. If you put a child on your belly and breathe with them, it resonates. You mm-hmm. talk about music, and in music, you know, there's this sense of syncopation, okay? So when you connect the breath with another person, their natural biorhythm begins to entwine, and they begin to have a dance of synergy where they almost begin to breathe together. So if you want to reconnect your relationship, spend more time holding each other and just breathing.
That's yeah. beautiful.
Yeah. Don't do all this talking and pointing the fingers and you mm-hmm. did this to me and you mm-hmm. did that. No. Just kind of let it go for a minute.
Yeah.
And just reharmonize
right.
the feeling of the love that brought you together in the first place.
I say.
So in my spiritual counseling, in that breathe into your relationship, that's what we offer. Mm-hmm. We breathe together. We open the heart space using breath to open up the heart chakra. And then we allow the couples, and they're being now open and free and more relaxed, and there's the struggle has diminished a great deal. And we ask them to write through a meditative process. As they're breathing through this meditative process, allow whatever comes up about what was the way in which you loved at the very beginning of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep writing until you can't write anymore. And people, when they finish, they're breathing through this, they're not analyzing. They're just letting spirit come from through head, through heart, and through the hand on the writing pad. And the breath is continuing to open up this heart and this loving energy. And oftentimes when they finish that piece, when they look at it, they say, wow. I remember some of these moments. They were so beautiful. I remember what made me fall in love with you the first time. That little smile of yours, you know, the way you helped me with my coat on and opened the doors for me. And you don't do that anymore. And I tell them, don't go there with what's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Go and stay in the vibration of love.
Yes.
What was wonderful about this love?
Yeah.
And we have found that when we practice this relationship reconnection, a lot of times people, they say, you know what, that felt so good, and it feels so good to just be in this synergy
mm-hmm.
of love, that they let go of some of the, you know, pointing the finger and who did what, and you know. Adina, the other thing I found out with a lot of our young people today,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure a lot of us elders do this too, we get stuck in retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
We're so bitter about the shape about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so by staying stuck in the past,
right.
we're stuck in the anxiety of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if he did that to me last week, oh, then he gonna do this again, and so therefore, you know, we're right on edge.
Everybody on get back, you know?
Yeah, on get back,
and that's the culture. You think of how the culture really acclimates people to competition. The culture, the language is very warlike. So I really appreciate how you say, let's not talk right now, because when you're angry, your word is going to be a sword. It's going to be a sword. And just like his weapon is his fist, the woman's weapon is her tongue. Boy, can she tear him down with them words?
Oh, you know? Boy, we can go for it with the words. Down, and you know, and I've had to work on me too.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
So I demonstrated Saturday. I said, you know, I tended to be the type. Yeah, okay, my husband laughed for my husband, John. Okay, John, and I'd be hands on hips. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, John, and I had taught John how to pull me to him and breathe with me belly to belly. And he would say, okay, Ayo. He said, come here, baby. And he pulled me to him. And next thing you know, he'd be breathing. And I'd say, okay, John. And okay, John. Oh, okay.
Oh, my dad. I love that for John.
You got that real good here now. You know what I was fussing about.
I love that. Right. I love that. One thing we did on Saturday.
We stayed together through some really trying times.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful technique. When you had us vent, but vent in gibberish. I absolutely love that. Because again, we know that tension lives in our body.
Yes.
And we need to get it out sometimes. But we don't necessarily want to cut up our beloved.
That's right.
To say it, so I'm getting it out with all the venom and vigor. But saying just nonsensical words,
yes.
Just moving out of my body. It was so much fun and funny. And everything. I loved it. I absolutely love that technique.
Yes, and the gibberish is swimming. No faces. You know, be animated, but you get that energy out of you.
Right.
And you allow it. And it can go on as long as you want. Mm-hmm. You can really bawl each other out and you've not said anything. I like to describe, we're not defiling our mouth, cursing each other out, saying words that we cannot take back.
I say.
And thoughts. Because Lord knows, I mean, you know, when we're in anger, you know, people a lot of times they lose it. Mm-hmm. And they don't even really, sometimes they can't take back some of the ugly stuff that's been said.
Yeah.
And definitely the more anger you get, the nervous system is off balance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a deregulation that comes with anger. It is a stimulant.
It is.
Right. And so the more angry you are, the more often that anger can turn into pushing and shoving and even worse violence. So we have used breath techniques for conflict resolution.
I love it.
For relationship reconnection, for allowing people to, we can tell each other off in gibberish, we can move and consult, you know, just, you know, they really
make
it. But after you go through all those types of breathing techniques, you end up slowly breathing together, connecting together, heart to heart, belly to belly, and the love begins to just flow. And we have been very, very blessed to see a number of couples who came to us for this relationship reconnect, who were on their way to leaving each other. And after these sessions, they decided to stay together.
Ashe. Ashe for the loveology.
Yes.
Because again, you take yourself to everywhere you go. So if you haven't healed that issue, you're just taking that same thing to your next relationship.
You know it. If you don't heal it there, it's going to go into
It's going
next.
Wherever you go, because it's you.
Yeah.
And
more often it is you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we ask people often, would you marry you?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you need to deal with
and
heal? So you point at them and what they did, how they did it, how they ain't got this, they ain't that. But oftentimes it's really your own self's deficit that you must work on to heal yourself. And yes, I do believe as people of African descent, the fact that we still today get together, I mean, because it was a job done on us in terms of programming and disconnection and self-hatred, you know, the ways in which we were push to breathe with each mm-hmm. other. All mm-hmm. of these detrimental things that happened over the centuries.
I see.
So we're still carrying the intergenerational trauma.
We're healing that. Loveology is healing this.
That's right.
Loveology is healing the brothers who don't love each other, like you talked about losing a son. Yeah. And, you know, the sisters who are fighting with each other and feel like they have to compete with each other for a man or for looks or for any of that. I want to talk about breathology and sisterhood. Yeah. Sisterhood is a powerful healing force. It can be. But I understand I've had many sisters that I love, and then relationships just take a turn for whatever different reasons. Mm. Me, myself, as a happy person, I tend to be happy regardless and love regardless. I'm going to love regardless,
yes.
but I still feel the hurt or the loss of that relationship that I thought was a forever relationship, but for whatever reason, it turned out not to be, at least not for this season. Yes. So how do you recommend women utilize this energy in healing with our sisters and realizing that our sister is our mirror, our sister is ourself, an extension of ourself?
Mm-hmm. I think that you said the answer. That often we attract who we need mm-hmm. in our lives to help us to heal.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And I know for myself, the male relationships, but also the female relationships, I've attracted the people in my life I needed to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Once I really understood that as a grounding principle for relationship building, it made me a little more compassionate before mm-hmm. I pushed people away and said, you know, nah, I don't want to deal with that person. Then I seem like I'm the sister that a lot of sisters end up adopting me.
I see.
And so I listen. I'm very patient with these sisters. And they don't always, you know, that I don't always like what they do. And I don't always agree with what they do. But I was very blessed with a mother who was just this amazing, nurturing woman. And then she birthed also two sons and who are older than me, and two daughters who were younger than me.
Oh, so you're the middle baby.
I'm the middle baby.
Okay.
So I had the opportunity to be the tom girl and taken care of by the brothers who were mm-hmm. 8 and 5 years older than me. And then I had two sisters who were 12 and 10 years younger than me.
Wow, mommy had babies for a long time.
Yes, she did. Well, my mother was this amazing woman who accepted her sexuality.
I know that's right.
She did. She accepted her sexuality.
Let's shake on that, because you think of the times that she was in, and to have harmony in her sensuality, her sexuality, that's something sisters, we struggle with in belly dance too. You know, some people don't want to belly dance because they feel like it's over sexualized, but it's not. Play in that. It's sensual.
It's essential. And my mother relished in this sense of, and then she admired this scorpion man, this mm-hmm. poor woman had married this scorpion man who was a sensual man.
I say.
So I think that, you know, even though they were like night and day, they were very different. Mm-hmm. But they were together for 62 years.
Wow.
And he took care of her through periods of time. He verbally abused her, and I think she held that in. You know, in those times, you dealt with a lot of stuff. But I watched this interplay with my mom and dad over the years. And I began to allow the sensuality of my mother to be who I enveloped. And as I enveloped that, I began to see the sisters oftentimes, they just really want to be nurtured.
We do.
So they really want to be allowed to feel a woman's love for them without competing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you're in that relationship with another sister and you feel that, you've attracted that.
Mm.
So that you can become maybe the better nurturer or the better healer for that moment. Whichever way that you embrace that relationship, the goal of the work with breath, it opens up the channel of heart.
I see.
And so if you just continue to send love and light and peace and harmony, compassionate, willingness to accept people, John, instead of making them over to fit in your mold,
mm-hmm.
accept them for who you are. If you can allow yourself that type of love, that's unconditional love. And that's what that sister perhaps came into your life for, some unconditional love. And if you can give it, you've got a lifelong friend. I'm very blessed. I have girlfriends that I hung out with 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. We don't see each other and talk to all the time. But if I call them tomorrow, you know, it's just like, hey, sis, how you doing? And we keep up with each other. And when we're together, it's just as if no time has lapsed. And because of the love that I've been able to share. And what happens when you love unconditionally? It comes full circle.
It does. Just like Divine Masculine and Divine Feminine, like a Belly Dancers of Color hosting the Honoring the Divine Masculine for 8 years. And then the Masculine hosting the Honoring the Divine Feminine this year. Yeah. That was a clear example of loving without expectation, but it's just coming full circle.
Coming full circle.
It's so beautiful.
That's really what love is about. That's what the whole Loveology concept is. Is that Loveology allows the revolutionary act of loving without conditions. Loving and self-care, which means that if you give yourself hugs sometimes, just to pat yourself on the back and kiss your shoulders, you know, you and I have nobody to love, you know, just love yourself, right? And the more you love yourself, you gonna emanate love.
Yes, you will.
Love to you, sister, I'm telling you. And it's just a phenomenal aspect of what love does. You know, just give it and you just receive it.
I say, I'm a witness. I'm here to tell you. It's true. That's an actual fact. Yeah. It's an actual fact. So the letting go of the get back part, I know, is a paradigm shift for us culturally to understand. If you get caught in that loop of get back, then that's what you got coming back.
That's what you're gonna come back to.
You always gonna have somebody getting back. But if you can exit that cycle and get into this Loveology cycle, then that's what you have coming back. That love is always prepared for you, and it's just waiting to just envelop you and hold you.
It's right there, staring, saying, just allow me in.
Let me in. Let me in, baby.
Let me just love you.
Come on.
You just love yourself.
Come
on. That's what Black love, they came in to replace that whole Valentine's thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a whole spike of violence and confusion around Valentine's Day because the sisters was demanding, I got to get the gift. The brothers was feeling all bitter about it. Shame. Well, I don't really want to give the gift. Or I don't have the money to give
right.
the gift.
Or,
I really don't even feel all of this.
It's a lot of judgment around all of that.
And as we kept institutionalized, that you don't have to give anything other than yourself.
You're the gift.
One day, give love. It's unconditional. Show these love, these five tenets to in every which way or form that would make you more loving.
I say.
We'd say be just unapologetically Black and just love your Blackness.
Love your Black self.
Love your community. Love your family. Love your children. You know, all this just love. If you could do it for 24 hours, then we felt that the affirmation would continue. And we have seen that now for 32 years.
I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that. Every Black Love Day, I send a text to my family to remind them, it's Black Love Day. Okay.
I saw that on your Instagram.
Yes. And that's before you and I met. Like, I've honored Black Love Day since 1993. Oh, I love that. Black Love Day is my jam. I'm putting on my red, black, and my green. And just like, listen, if y'all know Mama Ayo out here in this world, Black Love Day, 365, Loveology. Yes. So thank you for that. Thank you for that.
We give thanks.
So as we're wrapping up, because we've almost been talking for an hour already.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I want to talk about nature's embrace, because nature has its own rhythm. And you talked about how much you love rhythm and nature.
Yes.
And how do you align your breath with nature? Are you outside breathing? Are you looking at the birds? Like, in what way do you align specifically with the natural world?
Oh, that's a great question. I love nature. I like to go out into nature and breathe, but I also like to bring nature into my house.
I say.
I have plants all over my house, you know. I love when I can get to water. So I'm this Cancerian that has a whole lot of water in my chart. So I love to breathe in water, and I facilitate rebirthings, which allows one to have a new rebirth if they had a pretty botched up beginning of life. We like to bring people back and breathe in the water. I love bathing. I take long spiritual baths, and, you know, put all the essences in the water, you know, and just languish and meditate in water. Mm-hmm. So all of those aspects of nature, I allow myself to breathe into, to feel the rhythm of what is the natural elements, which is that what the source of life. It is the breath. And so, yeah, those are just some of the things I do. You got to watch me. I had to tell my grandson who lived with me. I said, y'all need to let me know when you're home. Mm-hmm. I said, I also like to
be naked.
Around. That's right.
I know it.
And look, and I got that from my mother. We were at a baby shower, and she was giving all these little cute little half-naked things to the people. I said, Ma, look at you. And she said, yeah, that's what, you know, we didn't come here with all these clothes on.
Yes, we better enjoy these bodies.
Right, we
that's medicine.
Yeah, we should enjoy the freedom of being free. My mother was a dancer. She did all of that. So
right on cue. Let's dance. We're going to dance to one of Mama Ayo's songs called Circle Dance. We're going to take 30 seconds to shake these booties. Yeah. And then we out. Here we go, Mama Ayo. I love that. This is for
Thank
your mama.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to
Let's dance.
This is Circle Dance. I did it, got it going on.
Yes. Oh, that music is so beautiful.
I like that. Thank you.
I love that.
That was John and I. It goes on for 13 minutes.
What? I'm going to finish that dance when we hop off.
And visualize you being in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And this was born for me during COVID, where we were all in isolation.
Yes.
And I would visualize us being in the circle and literally in between, just, you know, moving together with all these people in the circle. Mm-hmm. And then every so often we stop and we do a breathing technique.
Yes. I love that that was born in COVID. The hardest part for me in COVID was wearing the mask.
Yes, you know? It was hard for me.
It was. The whole thing that we talk about, the basic tenet of life is breath. The first thing you do in COVID, the mask was taking the breath.
It was challenging.
I love that, that you created that piece during COVID. Yes. Mama Ayo, thank you so much. I will share your links for your upcoming breath class and your how to contact you. You can tell the people how they can reach you, your social media and those kinds of things. Let them know real quick what's the best way to reach you.
Well, the best way to reach me is probably to call me.
Okay.
202-667-2577. 202-667-2577. You can email me, iomeansjoy@yahoo.com. We have a website, Positive Energy Works, 1E that connects positive with energy, works.com. We're on Instagram, IO Handy Kendi Breathes. And I tell people, if you didn't get any of that, just look on Google and look up IO Handy Kendi or look up Black Love Day.
Yes. Thank you, Mama Ayo. Thank you for your loveology. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your time here. Sri Maitreya Namaha. I love and appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Love you too, Adina.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity to share.